Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, from infuriating fairies to faceless foes. And today, we're talking about flumps.
Prepare yourselves.
I cast fireball.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
So last December, we ended the year on one of the biggest and meanest D&D monsters there are, the Tarrasque.
Oh, yeah.
So this year, I decided that we're going to end on one of the smallest and nicest D&D monsters, the Flumph.
The Flumph.
So Flumphs are...
That dichotomy. I love it.
Flumphs are mysterious and benevolent aberrations, famous for their whimsical nature, their silly if somewhat gross appearance, and being extraordinarily fragile monsters. The Flumph is a D&D original, and in some ways it's a D&D icon.
Okay, cool. It's the cool whip of the monster world.
It's the cool whip of the cool monster whip. World, yeah. In some ways, a flumph looks like a terrestrial jellyfish. Its body is shaped like an oblong saucer, about 2.5 feet in diameter. That's 0.76 meters. Atop their body is a mouth-like orifice that sits between two eye stalks, each about a foot long. Around the sides of its saucer-like body are 8 small holes. On the underside dangles a couple dozen or so tentacles that conceal a cluster of small spikes on its center, like, belly area.
Ew.
Yeah, so
it's I was gonna get a much cuter description.
They are, their depictions and art is quite cute, but I'm also being anatomically correct in this description.
Well, yeah, because maybe those things aren't always, like, extremely visible.
Extremely visible.
Really?
It's just a matter of they tend to be drawn more cartoonishly.
Yeah, okay.
So when you picture this in, like, a more realism type look, it's like, oh my.
It sounds more like a Lovecraftian horror than
and it is an aberration.
Than a dessert topping.
Indeed. So these bizarre creatures are airborne at all times. They float about.
Nice.
They live in the
Underdark. That's
how
I want
to be. Right. They live in the Underdark, and they float about by means of an innate anti-gravity field that they produce.
They live in the Underdark. I feel like we've touched on this creature so much. Like,
we have.
Like, did we go over that at some point?
Yeah, we
probably
did.
Probably.
In the Underdark episode.
Jesus. So they are not supposed to be... They are horrifying.
No. I mean, they're supposed to be adorable, and they're very nice.
But they're Underdark creatures.
They are Underdark creatures.
Oh, they're very nice.
They're extraordinarily nice, yes.
Oh. Well, then.
They move using air jets as propulsion. So they take in air through the orifice on top of their bodies and expel it through however many of the smaller holes on its sides that it needs to move in a direction.
So it puffs about.
This airflow makes a sound that the flump is named for. It's named after the sound it makes as it moves.
Flump. This is a fart monster.
It's a fart monster. So welcome to the last episode of this year. This is the fart monster. Welcome to... Shit's about to get a lot grosser, actually, so I'm just warning you now.
Check spoilers.
check this this fart monster out. We got lots of lore on it. Let's go.
So although flumps are a complexion of either white, brown, or yellow, they give off a glowing light that is that's color is dependent on the mood of said flump. They glow pink if they're amused, blue if they're sad, green if they're curious, and red if they're angry.
Oh my god.
So like many other D&D monsters we've talked about, there are essentially two versions of the flump. One from before 3rd edition and the one we have now. They're both lawful good creatures in nature, but the older version of the flump is a bit more mundane and odd, while the current version is a bit more magical and mystical.
Ari Salvatore didn't mention that Driss Dwarden was carried out of the Underdark by a team of flumps.
By a team of flumps, yeah. So the flump of 1st and 2nd edition was a creature with the intelligence level equal to that of an average human. Though unable to speak, they had a form of sign language that could be communicated via their tentacles.
Nice. That's really cool.
These flumps lived as nomadic underground hunters that fed upon small vermin such as rats, lizards, or frogs. The way they ingested their prey is actually pretty gross, so we're going to go over it.
Yes.
When one of these flumps finds prey, it will hover a foot or two above its target before dropping down and impaling their prey on its spike cluster, which is on its belly. Once this is done, the flump will use its acidic tentacles to secrete digestive acids onto the skewered corpse. Once this is done, the flump will cocoon the body in its tentacles as the body digests and its nutrients are absorbed through the said through tentacles.
Wonderful. At least it stops farting for a little bit.
Yeah. That's just hilarious. So he's like, poof. And you just got this impaled rat and it just starts melting it with its tentacles. It's so gross.
Yeah, it's like a spider almost or some kind of insect that does.
I didn't know any of this. Like when I thought of the flump, I thought of the modern flump, which doesn't do any of this, which we'll talk about later. So this was all new to me and it blew my mind, but
this is the old flump.
This is the old flump. First and second edition flump.
Okay, so, cool.
First and second edition also had a form of flump known as the monastic flump, considered to be a higher form of flump. These creatures are known to be of a slightly higher level of intelligence in comparison to their normal counterparts and for having the ability to cast cleric spells.
Okay.
These flumps live in groups called cloisters where they share knowledge and worship gods unknown to humanoids.
And those gods are like, farts are natural. Don't let them get you down.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
They're like, that's why we worship you, God. Thank you.
They make them feel better about themselves. So according to Dragon Magazine number 246 in Ecology of the Flump, it was discovered that monastic flumps are not actually a higher form of flump as much as normal flumps are a lower form of flump. More specifically, normal flumps are the mutant idiot offspring of monastic flumps.
Oh my gosh.
Roughly 10% of monastic flumps birthing buds, which is how they procreate, asexually via birthing buds, grow into mutated, less intelligent flumps.
This is like the same mentality of like the Pokemon Company when they wrote the Magikarp Pokedex entry or something.
Oh, really? Yeah,
can you imagine? Like, it's just like, this creature is bunk. Like a Gary Gygax or somebody just like writing the flump stat block like...
Yeah, so that's the old flump. I don't know if you got any other questions about the old flump.
Monastic flumps.
The monastic flumps.
Excellent. Yeah. These are not the bar for flumps is low. It's set very low.
It is set low. They only get better from here, quite frankly.
Great.
So really quickly, before we take our short rest, the modern flump 3.5 and onward is quite a bit different. These flumps are tied very specifically to the Underdark and to psychic ability. They are considered to be wise and possess advanced knowledge of philosophy, mathematics, religion, and countless other subjects.
Okay, great.
But let's take a short rest before we get into the rest.
Okay.
Selling a little. Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the part of the episode we're not talking about the last thing we're talking about. We're talking about how much we love you. We love you so much. I love you so much. Tell them, Will.
Love is a many splendid thing. All you need is love. I love you.
How about Patreon? How about it?
How about that Patreon?
There's a link somewhere. Find it.
Probably
go,
below.
Go there.
In the description.
Below. The love below. It's filled with people that love us back, I think.
I think they do. I think they certainly are showing their love, and I appreciate it.
We love you guys. We're working hard to make new content for Patreon all the time. There's already a live game in there. If you like me and Will, and you like Super Quest Saga, and you like special guest Jake, there's a ton of that stuff. And our friend Steve in Flashbang and the Surgeon, which is a Batman the Animated Series comedy game. We take Batman the Animated Series episodes and make them into Dungeons and Dragons stuff. I Dungeon Master it. It's super fun. You get season one at the $5 tier. And as I finish episodes of season two, I upload them into the $10 tier. And you get a season one episode also at the same time. So in the $5 tier, you get early episodes of this show that are ad-free. You get the Vault Raiders episodes, which are one-shot live games where I play a bear shark. And you can be... you could just be listening to, you get a shout out on the show. You get, what else do you get at five? So like a lot of stuff.
At the five? Oh, I don't even know. I think you said it all.
I think that was it. And then at the $10 tier, you get the brand new Flashbang and the Surgeon. As we record them, they come out.
Holiday specials.
All the holiday specials, which Ranger are Danger. Like Ranger Danger, the which Halloween was like special. Spring. The Halloween special, which is very cool, Lovecraftian stuff. And you get OST, any original soundtrack that we make on the show is there. Some cool sound bites. $20 tier is like merch stuff. We got our special What the Grump Schmuck. Mug. And we've got more plans for merch. Hopefully we've sorted that out. There's some logistical things that we run into, hiccups and things. But thank you guys so much for being patrons and helping support the show. We do a lot of cool upgrades. I finally am not recording the show with my phone. It's so fucking liberating.
Indeed.
Yeah, thanks a lot. If you're watching this on YouTube, thanks so much. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button, just like everybody asks, even though I think subscriber count is pretty much like a moot number at this point. It seems like nobody really paying attention. Like, it's not as meaningful as like leaving a comment or leaving a like.
Oh, right. As actual activity. Yeah. Yeah. But subs are great.
We appreciate it all. Yeah. Like, you just clicking on it, even if you don't do that other stuff, is really heartwarming. There's a really nice community of people that like Dungeons & Dragons and the Dungeon Cast in our Discord, run by very many, not us, people that are extremely beautiful, beautiful souls. Thank you guys so much for everything you do. If you're on Patreon, I will say again, please go into our Discord. There's a lot of cool extra stuff that you get by being a Patreon member in our Discord. Even if you want to be a patron of the $1 tier, which just includes like basically a shout out on the show,
you still get in the Discord.
You still get in the Discord, and you are an honorary member of the Patreon Discord, although it's going to be like spoiler heavy in there with all of our bonus content. That's where a lot of people talk about, like, the early episode comes out and you guys can chat about it in there way ahead of time. And then
that's true. I didn't think about it in that way.
And yeah, those guys, I've noticed you guys going onto YouTube and leaving comments like immediately before you could have possibly watched the episode. Like, I know you guys are Patreon people. You have the same username sometimes. So, yeah, highly encouraged behavior, all of it. Please keep doing all that stuff. We love seeing your guys. We get a lot of love on the show. A lot of stuff comes into email. A lot of stuff comes into social media, especially Instagram right now. You guys are DMing the living crap out of me, and it's been really cool. Like we said, we're going to get to the replies eventually. And just in our regular email, on our Patreon, you guys are great. Quick reminder, we're going to be adding a feature to the $10 and up tier, Electrum tier and up. If you send us a message on Patreon that you want read on the show, we are going to review that thing and read it on the show in the long rest. It's not happening in these episodes, but this is the last episode of the year.
Yep.
So starting next year, we're going to start doing that. We love hearing from you guys. We want to broadcast you guys. You guys have a lot of interesting things to say, includes things like, I have a dragon I'm running. What do I do? You can ask Will and I for insight on that. Things of that nature. If you just want to say what's up, we'll read that too. As a thank you to you guys for helping support the show, please check out Super Quest Saga. It is a great 5e live play game where we are in space and it's fucking awesome. So check it out. Do you want to get back to the show?
Let's back to the show.
Let's get back to the show.
All right, we're back.
We've returned.
Talking about flumps. The new flumps, the modern flumph, if you will.
The modern flumph.
The smarter, more sage-like flumph.
The sleeker, more aerodynamic, fuel-efficient flumph.
It's true. So these flumps are naturally telepathic creatures that actually feed by siphoning mental energy from other psionic creatures.
That's Underdarky.
Which, yeah, fortunately for them is that psychic creatures in the Underdark are somewhat abundant.
Yes.
But unfortunately for them, they're also pretty much exclusively simultaneously evil and powerful.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, very evil and very powerful. The flumph is neither.
So you're going to try to catch, like, a stray illithid or something?
So.
And, like, swarm it?
Right. Not really. So because of this, flump cloisters are usually found near illithid colonies, or aboleth layers, where they live as passive parasites, taking only the amount of mental energy they need, but never enough for the aboleth or mind flayers to notice or feel the discomfort.
Okay, that's a really good pick.
Yeah, it's like they live nearby, but not close enough to like get caught up in the crosshairs. But in truth, neither aboleths nor illithids take much notice of flumps, who are easy to forget about and can serve them no real purpose, like, because they're really weak creatures that don't do anything.
Yeah, greedy flumps get destroyed and eaten, yeah, or whatever. So the breeding, the natural selection there is like, this is where we're at.
Yeah. So unfortunately for flumps, consuming psionic energy of another reveals their thoughts and emotions to the flumph. Being lawful good creatures that they are and being quite sensitive to the emotional state of others, this makes the relationship flumps have with their food very complicated. Since so many creatures upon which the flump feeds are evil, flumps are often subjected to thoughts, emotions, and hungers that sicken their pure nature.
Ooh, this is,
Yeah, I know.
That's yucky.
I know. So when a flump encounters a more powerful creature of good than itself, which is any creature of good because they're very weak, it will often eagerly share the dark secrets it's learned in the high hopes of casting down the evil beings.
Please, I have to tell somebody.
I know.
I am what I eat.
Even if this means losing their source of food and being forced to seek out nourishment elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a weird, these are a weird monster.
Yeah, they're spiritually torn constantly. Yeah.
They don't live happy lives, man.
They're lawful good, but they're lawful sad.
They're lawful sad indeed. So flumps live in harmonious groupings where each flump has a place and purpose. These groups have no leaders since all flumps contribute in their own way. On very rare occasions, flumps are known to take in abandoned or lost to mind witnesses who will immediately assimilate to flump mentality and serve as a form of protection for the community. I don't know if you remember in the Beholder episode, we spoke about the mind witness very briefly.
That's a long, long time ago.
A very long time ago. We were going to do a Beholder kin episode at some point.
That's right. We've talked about that too.
But essentially, a mind witness is what happens when an illithid colony captures a Beholder and subjects it to whatever their metamorphosis is called. I can't remember.
Oh, where they stick them in the tank?
Or yeah. That was. And basically, the product of which is a thing called a mind witness, which it looks kind of like a Beholder, but rather than have a big old mouth, it has like two lamprey suckers on its side.
Nice. Okay.
And it's got tentacles everywhere.
Jeez.
And
to think of that monster being captured.
Well, they don't get captured. So the way, okay, so hold on. Let me finish explaining mind witnesses. So mind witnesses will serve the illithids loyally because they are genetically made to be submissive.
Sure.
And they have naturally powerful psionic boosting abilities. So a strong colony will have like five or six mind witnesses just boosting everyone's power.
Totally.
Sometimes, though, mind witness, let's say a colony gets destroyed and a mind witness is kind of just left alone, it'll just kind of wander mindlessly. And if flumps come across it, the flumps will take it in as one of their own. And because it's so submissive, it will just begin to serve the flumps. And because
I'll be your food.
Yeah. Well, I guess they could eat off it if they want to. They probably would.
That's probably ideal because it's just like this passive thing. And as long as they, you know, treat it like a farm and don't like reduce the soil to ash.
Yeah. And because mind witness is capable of self-defense, they're actually fairly powerful. It's a great protection for the community. So
that's a cool flight.
I thought that was pretty neat. Yeah.
That's how you know if you find mind witness and the room smells like shit. There's probably a lot of flumps there.
It's funny that you mentioned smells like shit because we're going to get into some of the self-defense maneuvers that flumps have.
I mean, like, why is it funny? We've already established that it's a fart monster.
Yeah, but we didn't. Okay, well, let me just get into it. So when it comes to self-defense, flumps have limited options.
Yeah, totally.
Their tentacles.
Wonder where you're going with this.
Their tentacles can do acid damage, but not very much. Mm-hmm. Their best bet when coming into close contact with hostile creatures is their stench spray. This defense spray fires out from one of its many orifices. It is an extremely foul-smelling liquid, powerful enough to induce multiple rounds of severe nausea.
What is this game? We've come across so many ridiculous ass things in this game.
I love this monster. So yeah, they have a stench spray.
Yeah, dude. Let me just include a little bit of liquid in my fart.
So to add to their already fragile nature, flumps have one very, very effective weakness, being turned upside down.
Fluid runs into their mouth and they're grossed out.
So the anti-gravity field that they produce is pointed below their bodies, making it completely useless when the flump is turned over. Its tentacles possess little physical strength and thus they won't be able to turn themselves over. And a flump will also pin its own eye stalks down since the eye stalks are on top of its body. So turning a flump over immediately defeats it.
Immediately defeats it. Nice.
So it's a very weak monster. Any questions about flumps before we look at the stat block?
I had a really cool idea for a dark elf character.
Yeah.
Maybe you can name them after I tell you the concept. Okay. But they've been they've captured two flumps, this dark elf, and they've psychically charged the flumps to be like extremely durable and powerful, and they wear them on their feet and use them as gravity boots. And they ride the flumps around the Underdark. What's their name? It's like Funky Kong. Think of Funky Kong, but a dark elf with flumps on the feet.
I got nothing.
Hit me up in the comments if you figure out a name for my dark elf flump character.
All right, let's go over the flump stat block, which I pulled up here. It's actually a fatter stat block than you'd think for such a weak monster.
I mean, they have a lot of cool little interesting things about them.
Yeah, they
several
do.
Different like parts.
Right. Interesting parts. So a flump is a small aberration, lawful good. Armor class of 12, hit points of 7. 7 hit points for this poor son of a bitch.
I was going to say, that's a pretty high AC for what I was picturing, but like that makes sense.
They have a speed of 5 feet, which I think should be a speed of 0 because they shouldn't have a land speed, but they have a flying speed of 30 feet.
Okay, yeah.
Strength is a 6, so that's a negative 2. Dexterity is a 15. Constitution's 10. Intelligence 14. Wisdom 14. Charisma 11. They are skilled in Arcana, History, and Religion. They are, they're vulnerable to psychic damage? Oh, no.
Not good.
No, I guess it's because, they're sensitive to other people's thoughts and stuff.
They're just...
They're sensitive
just like,
to their food.
Well, they're sensitive to their food weaponizing the energy against it. Supposed,
if someone fucking attacked me with a giant steak, it would hurt.
It kind of makes sense. Like, if you're able... If you're just this... Your skin or whatever it is. Your persona is... like you can easily transmit psychic energy through you.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that you're vulnerable to it.
Right. Like
as a weaponized thing, it passes through you easier. However, psychic damage works.
They have dark vision. They understand undercommon, but can't speak. But they can speak telepathy. So they can speak anything.
Telepathy, I think you just need a creature that can speak and understand one language
exactly.
And you can communicate.
They are challenge rating of 1/8, which is one step above 0.
So you need a lot of them to make them a worthy enemy. You're just going to be running through this with your sword, just like exploding these things.
A straight massacre.
They're just going to blow up into
also,
like a
gas if you're fighting like, these flumps, that you're probably a very evil person because they're very nice.
Yeah, they're not trying to fight you.
Yeah, like the quote underneath their name in the monster manual is always trust a flump.
Always trust
a
flump.
Because they're so nice and good.
Dark Elf Santa Claus has a sleigh and there's just like 12 flumps out there.
So they have an ability called Advanced Telepathy. A flump can perceive the content of any telepathic communication used within 60 feet of it. And it can't be surprised by creatures with any form of telepathy. So that's nice. It's really hard for Illithids or Abelis to sneak up on them, which is probably good.
That makes sense.
Yeah. The next feature they get is called Prone Deficiency. If a flump is knocked... prone, roll a die. On odd result, the flump lands upside down and is incapacitated. At the end of each of its turns, the flump can make a DC 10 dexterity saving throw riding itself and ending the incapacity condition if it succeeds. Next feature it gets is telepathic shroud. The flump is immune to any effect that would sense its emotions or read its thoughts, as well as all divination spells. Now that's interesting. So they can
hit
protect
me with
those.
That again. I didn't quite catch that.
A flump is immune to any effect that would sense its emotions or read its thoughts, as well as all divination spells. So you can't really track them down. They can hide their tracks pretty well, which makes sense. They got to be stealthy.
Yeah, totally. They got to avoid all this like
danger
extra sensory
everywhere.
Stuff.
Yeah. So that's it for the features. They get two actions. The first action is called Tendrils. It's a weapon attack with tentacles. Plus 4 to hit. Reaches 5 feet. One creature. 1d4 plus 2 piercing damage. I guess they have spines on the end of their tentacles. Plus 1d4 acid damage. At the end of each of its turn, the targets must make a DC 10 constitution saving throw, taking 1d4 acid damage on a failure or ending the reoccurring acid damage on a success. Now, this is the first instance I've seen of in what in 4th edition is called save ends. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you remember from our one session of 4E, but there was a lot of ongoing damage in 4E, and it was always like save ends. So like you would take ongoing 5 damage every turn until you save. And
I that's mean, what, like, and there that's are plenty what, of spells like that now.
Are there ongoing? I guess they're phrased a little differently.
Yeah, they're like wisdom saves.
Yeah, I'm used to attacks from monsters from 4E that
doing
do
damage.
Exactly this.
Yeah, there's definitely, it's been changed.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Like, their attacks, nothing to sneeze at if you're level 1. Like, holy shit.
That's a cool extra, if you're doing an Underdark campaign and you like... You form an ally with this cloud of flumps, which you know, like Murder of Crows, cloud of flumps.
Yeah, sure.
A cloud. It's a fart-based joke.
Yes, I get it. Get it. God damn it. What was I going to say? How embarrassing if you went down to a cloister of flumps? If you die to flumps,
yeah, that would be embarrassing.
Which is, it looks distinctly possible at level one, like a gang of flumps will fucking murder you.
Anytime I'm playing video games and I get killed by fart monsters, I'm embarrassed.
Indeed.
You're absolutely right.
The only other feature they have is a once a day called stench spray. Each creature in a 15-foot cone originated from the flump must succeed a DC 10 dexterity saving throw or be coated in a foul-smelling liquid. A coated creature exudes a horrible stench for 1d4 hours. The coated creature is poisoned as long as the stench lasts, and other creatures are poisoned while within 5 feet of the coated creature.
Oh, my God.
A creature can remove the stench on itself by using a short rest to bathe in water, alcohol, or vinegar.
Really not I guess the tomato paste. Thing.
Yeah, although it doesn't say tomato paste.
Oatmeal, you know.
Sure, any of that,
yeah, any of those.
So any questions about the flump, Brian?
I have a question for you.
Sure.
What if I repitch this as the Fartopus?
I mean, yeah, it's essentially what it is.
Would you accept that name?
I mean, I like flump.
Yeah, you can't say Fartopus.
No, I like the flump.
Sky
skunk. It's a charming little creature. Even if it's disgusting.
Sure. It's a disgustingly... okay. It's lovable. Sure.
Yeah, except for don't get too close.
Yeah. Don't get too close. Or right. Do. It sounds like it can emit non-smelly farts versus smelly farts.
Right.
Because the non-detection thing, the room probably doesn't smell like shit unless they've been fighting.
I mean, if they're secreting a foul stench from the same holes they're blowing air out of, that air puffs, they got to smell at least a little bit.
Maybe a little bit, like a faint, like a really faint one that dissipates quickly.
God, that's gross.
They just have a gland in the fart hole that opens up and lets out the spray.
A really sensitive gland. It goes off sometimes.
Oh, no. Yeah, Fartopus, okay. For sure.
This is a good ending of the year to the Dungeon Cast.
Let's get ready to go to
sleep. I'm extraordinarily sick right now, and I feel like I'm falling into a DayQuil-influenced delirium. So let's take a long rest.
Are you sure? It could just be the episode content.
It could be that, too. It could
be both.
So before we go, I'd like to encourage our audience to check out our live 5e D&D game, Super Quest Saga, where we sit around the table, play some Dungeons & Dragons in space. It's a sci-fi fantasy adventure. It's a lot of fun.
I can't believe we squeezed this much time out of this fart monster. Check out Super Quest Saga. And this is the part, usually we'll do our little plug thing as we do in the short rest in this section of the episode. And then I want to start letting people know, this is where I would read a message from Patreon. And then I don't know if like we'll have seen it already or if you just want me to read them to you and you can react quote unquote live.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. We're gonna figure all that out. But start sending us messages because it's gonna be kind of embarrassing if we don't have any. I'm sure there's
none.
I'm positive. I'm positive that there are a certain group of people that will send us those messages.
Yeah, it's very true.
But it's open to anybody. $10 and up on Patreon.
With that being said, I think we can call it a game, and we will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.